All right, we're going to be getting this meeting started here shortly. I've got someone on the line. Their phone number is ending in 1710. Can you please state your name for the record?
Sure, it's Stephanie Preibel, responsible for ports programming with Business Oregon.
Thank you, Stephanie. Okay, Richard, you can start.
Okay, we'll call this workshop to order. It's May 21st, 2020 at 2 p.m. So, Danielle, roll call.
Joe?
Here.
Richard?
Here.
Roy and Ken and Sharon are absent.
Okay, we're not doing business, right?
No business.
All right, do you have any modifications or additions to the agenda? Any conflict of interest?
No.
Okay. I guess we'll just have to approve the agenda unless there's any objection.
I make a motion to approve the agenda as written.
Wrong.
You don't need to?
Okay. There's only two of you.
Okay. Oh, that's right on.
No, so you added them. Yeah. I think we're good.
Do you have any public comments?
No, any public comments?
Nope.
Well, Stephanie.
Stephanie, I think you're the only one on the line, so feel free to speak freely.
I appreciate it.
All right, Gary, that gets us to the workshop.
Well, thank you for attending the workshop. So this is the first workshop of our 5-year midpoint update of our strategic business plan. For the IGA that we have in Business Oregon, we have to do a 5-year midpoint update. So this is my proposal to the board and the public. And
no.
Well, yeah, give it to me. I'll scroll it.
And you can shift over if you want. Those things actually pick up really well. Like when we tested it, Brent was in that room and you could hear.
These things are great. We're going to be using these by.
Stephanie, can you hear us well enough? And Kim?
I can hear some voices stronger than others, but that's natural on a conference call.
Same here. I can hear.
All right, so in the packet, I don't have it on the screen, but in the packet, I have the old strategic business plan pages that I'm proposing to delete and also update. So I'm not gonna go over those, those are just part of the packet. The part that I wanna go over is our actual plan for the port moving forward. Did anybody have any questions or comments on the sections I was deleting, first off?
No.
Okay.
So, some of those sections we've been approving and updating every year since the plan's been going. So like table 14, I think it was. Table 14 is the capital improvements table. We've been updating that one as our port's infrastructure is failing and readjusted. Is it there? Yeah, table 14 we've been adjusting every year. So onto the want to kill the lights. So on the presentation here, the second page is our just the port commissioners and our port staff what's left of our COVID-19 impact. And then our schedule and timeline. So we're at published the workshop in the port website, and then we put it in the newspaper on the 15th. And today is the 21st public workshop.
And then I'm asking for a 30-day public comment period so the public can actually comment on our plan. It's on the website. I'll probably end up having another public workshop so we can have all the commissioners here, kind of go over it again. But I'm hoping if we get any public comments, then we'll address those like the next workshop, see what the public's commenting on, or the commissioners' comments too. I think Ken wants to come in and sit with me and go over what he's thinking. So I'll probably end up having a second workshop sometime before a regular meeting on the 21st of July. The 21st of July is where I want to present to the board for approval. That makes sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Have you ever gotten public comment on this?
Not since I've been updating this thing. Back when they first did it, Travis is here, and I think they only had one or two public comments put forth. So I think one was Al Cornell. And I can't remember
who the other one was, but I think Al, you're right, Al was one.
Yeah. So, yeah, the public comments seems like they're pretty, you're lucky to get one or two. And then once we get the board approved plan, then we're going to submit it to Strategic Business Oregon, I'm sorry, the Strategic Business Plan to Business Oregon for approval. And from there, that's where we try to set our goals to get our port up to snuff.
And so when you, Business Oregon requires this plan and has this plan, that's kind of the foundation for our being able to secure funding for various things. It's part of the plan, not an emergency, but part of the plan, and that already paves the groundwork for that, right?
Yeah, well, it helps us try to get funding. It doesn't secure. I mean,
right. I get that, but yeah. I mean, it's kind of a mother may I step, so it's
right.
On record that we're proceeding according to our plan, and part of that's not making some
right.
Rash decision.
It basically helps me and the port to go to the legislators and lobbies that this is our plan, this is an approved plan. So yeah, something just to be aware that the state requires a 10-year update. So in 5 years, we're gonna have to have like a. And Stephanie, you can tell me I'm misspeaking on this part, but at a 10-year update, you got to have, I think, a full-blown review of your strategic business plan, the economic impacts of the area and all that stuff. I think the whole plan needs to be redone. And this plan originally was a $50,000 plan, so I'm kind of guessing it's going to be a $50,000 plan update in a 10-year cycle update of it. So.
Sure. Gary, I can I can speak to that. You're absolutely on point. The quick backstory is in 2009 state statute was updated, and state law actually requires ports to have a strategic business plan. It was in coordination with Business Oregon and the infrastructure authority that the new strategic business plan for Oregon statewide port systems was adopted. And that's basically was a big study about 10 years ago. We're on our 10th anniversary, if you will. And there's a template for strategic plans and a template for the IGA between our organizations. So the foundation really came from state law and then that statewide port system study. That sets the actions that we're doing today. And then Business Oregon adopted Oregon Administrative Rules. It's chapter 123, and it's division 25. And that's manages the Port Planning and Marketing Fund, which can allocate money to ports as they develop their strategic plan updates. And that's also where the 10-year requirement is listed, that every 10 years ports would basically go through and redo a comprehensive strategic plan so that they could comply with the statewide port system publication, which also traces back to statute. So those are the three big authorities that we're weaving in and out of to make sure that we're in compliance with state law and that we have an idea from Business Oregon standpoint about where the state interest in ports is and how we can help you meet those goals. So that's the that's the overarching context. And I appreciate the port's efforts to treat it like a living document and have this workshop today to try to keep things updated. It is, it's helpful to stakeholders for sure.
Cool. Thank you, Stephanie. All right, moving on to this presentation. This slide here just shows the sections that I plan on deleting. And take my glasses off because I can't read it. It's basically the boatyard relocation plan. That's where they wanted to move our current boatyard into the gear storage area, kind of behind and around the ice house cold storage area. So I want to delete that plan. And all those pages that go, kind of go along with it. And then the items updated is the table 14, which I talked about earlier. Table 15, the project opportunities. I'm updating that to our current infrastructure needs, and then a project opportunity map. I overhauled that entire map, which we'll see here in the slide, and then the action plan, just updated that as well, kind of keep everything in line of what's going on at the port. So this is the overview. So in the original plan, they had a map almost identical to what this one here is, so I kind of copied the same kind of format and color schemes and labeling. So this is an overview. I broke this thing up in little sections so we can actually see a little better. So that's just an overview of what be the new grand scheme of things. I guess the main thing, I'll get my little red dot here, is the roads in the center area. So we can have actually roads going to our receiving dock and you know, gear storage or whatever storage you want to end up having in section 5. So, and then I guess another thing I just want to bring up, having these roads coming in here, it would be nice having another exit road coming in here. And I'm not crazy about roundabouts, but some roundabouts are useful. So I thought it'd be a good idea to have a roundabout here because you're coming in, you have multiple, coming in at a weird angle, but you have multiple ways to go. And this area here, this intersection is pretty bad. I guess, Stephanie, I don't know if you're following me, but the intersection I'm talking about is far left side. It's on page 6 of our presentation. But far left side is another roundabout. That intersection is pretty bad when you're coming down off Shopping Center Drive, if you ever come down this way. It's really hard to see traffic coming down the hill or coming around in here. You got blind spots. But the original plan did have like a port entryway to going on here. I thought maybe a roundabout and putting a big sign in the center of that, like welcome to Port of Brigham Harbor type of thing, would be pretty cool. But the roundabout would be like a 4-lane roundabout where, you know, big trucks can get through there and boats and trailers. And that would also alleviate this issue about making a left turn into our entrance. Because you're crossing a double yellow, they're saying it's a legal left turn, but no, nobody enforces it. But
so you, then this would be done in conjunction with county?
Yes.
State.
Yep.
That
would be county, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, county on both of those, if the board liked that idea, having a roundabout on the other side. And the sidewalk that I've kind of highlighted, that sidewalk's been in the plan for like 20 some odd years for this port for a pedestrian walkway. The county likes the idea of putting a walkway in here, and it'd be nice if they fit the bill because it's on their right of way. But it'd be cool if we had, there was actually a walkway along with a bike lane all the way through here, kind of tie in this whole thing. 20 years ago, the whole idea was having the pedestrian walkway, bike path, going all the way around here and making a loop. They had actually pavilions and stuff set up in certain areas and whatnot. So they actually had a walkway going out on this jetty going all the way up to this point here and back.
Mm-hmm. I know the county's also putting the pedestrian sidewalks in their future plans. The road department is for helping get those sidewalks put in. So they're also doing that.
Yeah, so this, as I'm talking about, this is a blow up of the previous slide. So this area here is basically our retail area. So number one is to keep, that's keeping the original plan of putting a third retail building in here. And I thought it might be a good idea if we do get to that point to put in like a convention type of center room that might work out for events and stuff. I don't know how everybody feels about that. Okay, Richard's thumbs up. The land across the street, we acquired that with a land trade with Best Western 4 or 5 years ago. So this land here is undeveloped. We tried selling it for almost 3 years, I think, and we had a couple little bites, but nothing ever came of it. It's not for sale right now because the time elapsed and I didn't renew it. But I'm kind of thinking it might be a good plan to develop that for port use. And right now, I was just throwing this idea out. The sheriff wants more room from where we're at now because they're in our retail area now. But if we can team up with the county, maybe they can help pay for the new building. Maybe we work out a deal, some kind of rental price sharing type of thing for a new building. But my idea is having like a multiple story building here because it's a narrow area, but like a three-story building. Both bottom floor would be professional offices of some sort. Second floor could be the sheriff's station, substation, and then the top floor would be the port office. Get us away from the retail altogether. Oh yeah, if you build it right, you can be able to put parking in here. And then if you need more parking, you park on the other side.
A crosswalk in there.
Yeah, put a crosswalk in there. If you build it, I mean, this is almost a full acre, but if you build it right, you could have parking on one side and you have your building on the other side. Anyways, that was my plan proposal. And then number three is extending our boardwalk. That's always been a discussion for public amenities, is extending that boardwalk all the way down this whole basin here. So I thought that'd be a good idea to add that to our plan. And at the same time, if we happen to do that fairly quickly, we can fix our boardwalk that's falling apart at the same time if he's right. Any questions on that one? All right. So in the plan or in the presentation I've sent you guys earlier, this slide wasn't in there. I kind of want to I added this part because I want to talk and just make sure everybody understands what we're dealing with at our gear storage with DEQ regulations and stormwater. These little arrows on this slide here represents where the water is flowing. So everything's sloping towards our basins. And we have catch basins in here. And some of these catch basins, that's where we have to test our water. A lot of this land is undeveloped. So all this water is running down and dirt, and it hits some of our asphalt, and it's just taking the dirt onto our asphalt right into the drain. And we are failing our tests at this point. So on the next slide, this is more of our gear storage. As you can see, we have water coming in from all the way up by Lower Harbor Road. All this water is just all coming into our drains. We had test drains here, test drains over here. It's a lot of water moving when it rains.
This is basically what it comes down to. It's way too much water coming. I mean, it overwhelms the system that we have to where there's no way it can properly do what it needs to.
And some of our drains are not built properly either, so we're dealing with that as well. So that leads to the plan the future plan of the gear storage. So the idea here with the roads will help control the water from you know, coming off from the Lower Harbor Road. You put your curbs and gutters, sidewalks along your road for your access to your receiving docks. So you can isolate a lot of the water that's moving. And also, the other reason I wanted to have those other pictures in there, it's all sloped. So what I'm planning on doing with FEMA, when we dredge our 40,000 cubic yards, where we dredge the basins, like to place the dredge material out here to shape the landscape, I guess you call it, so the water's not flowing directly right into our drains. So the topography here is going to change. At least that's what I'm planning on. Have an engineer develop how much fill we got to put in there and build our roads properly, and then have our infrastructure built properly for these new developments that we want to go in and go after and get done. That makes sense.
What kind of base is that going to be? Dredge material, that's pretty fine.
Yeah, Jack's already said it's about the best subgrade material you want to get. Once it dries out, it's like concrete. So he's well aware of what kind of material we have. So the trick is when it comes out, it's all muddy, and then getting the water away from the soils, then let it dry out, and then be able to put it back over there and compact it and whatnot. So when the time comes, I'm not sure if we're going to be using a kite field as a lay down area. That could be possible, just so, you know, we don't have very many public people here, but that kite field could be one area for
a very likely area,
yeah,
for dredge spoils to go to, so we can accomplish getting this road done. There's a lot of planning that Gary's done as far as to get us to this point and to get us to where we have this road, and it all goes hand in hand with being able to use our dredge spoils, keep them on site, save FEMA money, save us money, and let all these plans and all the different agencies, FEMA, you know, our own money, the strategic business plan, any help through Business Oregon, you know, everything. When we go to lock, everything we're trying to use, everything we already have at the port to be able to make all this kind of work and save everybody as much money as possible.
Yeah, my only comment about the kite field is that stuff stinks.
Yeah.
When you first lay it out there, it's going to smell pretty bad, and then it won't. But
you know, when we did it, it really wasn't as bad. It wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. Same thing when we did it in Gold Beach. It really wasn't nearly as bad as what I thought it was going to be when it comes out. So, I mean, it smell, yeah, but it's really not as bad as one might think. It's not like it is when it's low tide and you get that surface smelling gunk. It's really not as bad as one might think.
So going through the bullet points, number four. So our idea here is moving the Kenny's Boat Shop to the boatyard, so all the boat work and everything's all isolated in one spot. So once he moves out of there, the idea was relocate our boat wash into the navigation tower area, and then also put in a community park type of thing that kind of ties in with the grass area there and the Indian Memorial.
That new boardwalk that's out there.
Yeah.
Something that might be able to be supported possibly by grants, you know.
You put in a new boat wash, then you'd have a new drain system that would go somewhere else, right?
Well, the idea is the idea would be boat wash here going to our new wastewater treatment plant.
Okay.
Now, the other idea, which I didn't, well, I just want to get to it eventually. This road's going to have all new utilities going through it. So all the power, water, sewer, you name it, all going to be going down this road here and then teeing off mm-hmm. to these other areas. Right now, we have water going through here, going underneath the cold storage, and looping kind of a weird loop around here. Is that right, Travis?
Yeah.
Something weird happens, then it comes back down to our fuel dock. So,
and we are by moving these, you know, this is in conjunction with already talking to Harbor Water,
yeah,
who is fully 100% in our favor and will be a huge ally in moving the water line. They want it moved more than we do, and it helps them, and they're going to help supply
the material.
If we probably kick in labor. So it's a good opportunity for us to do it while we still have the water district on our side.
Right. The other idea is to get meters put in here. It's going to these businesses, separate meters, so they all be metered properly, because we have a meter going to our ice house right now that's not going, it's not being metered properly, because it's one meter and it goes to the receiving docks.
The port tried to use sub-meters. They just, you know, the water, they gave you one big 2-inch meter, and then everything got ran off from that, and then the port had sub-meters everywhere. And a good idea maybe at the time, but sub-meters, you know, for them to be reliable, you have to annually inspect them, annually have them
calibrated,
thank you. And, you know, the port doesn't have the time or the resources to make sure that every single one of these are. When if we have our infrastructure in there, Harbor Water will be happy to put a meter there and just send the bill to our business versus us happy to send the bill. And
yeah.
Well, I think it makes perfect sense to talk about if you're going to be building a road and you're going to go to that, you might as well do all the utility upgrades and get it all consolidated where everybody knows where it is.
Yep.
And that it's, you know, up to whatever code we have at that point.
Okay.
So, makes sense.
All right. So number five is the area that I was thinking of for the covered storage units, and also somewhere in here we should have a area to do crab pot cleaning and network, those type of things. So there should be a somewhere in there we should have a lay down area to do that work and contain whatever materials or whatever stuff that comes off these crab pots and whatnot. So that's what five is, that whole five areas would be the plan there. Six is just you would turn into the gear storage into parking lot and staging area. So once you designate an area for parking lot, you get rid of DEQ regulations. They're not parking lots. You don't have any DEQ stormwater regulations.
They're exempt.
Yeah. So
parking lots are exempt from
stormwater
runoff.
Right. Yep. Yeah. So
it's like the roadways, you know, roads water that comes off from bridges, you know, anything, all that water is exempt.
Yeah, so it would be useful to get a lot of this area designated as parking, and then we can use that as staging. You can go put your crab pots there for staging, which will make a lot of things easier to get. I mean, it's going to make things faster for everybody because you don't have to go through our potholes and the gravel and stuff. You're on asphalt. I mean, it's going to make things quicker and easier for the.
And a lot players. Of, you know, since we're here talking about and stuff, I mean, me and Gary have been going to quite a few ports now and looking at their gear storage setups. How are they getting around the problems that we're facing right now with our 1200D permit? Because they're already dealing with them. So a lot of it is they have temporary storage staging basically for these pots, and they don't allow the stuff that the gear to stay on site for a month, maybe 2 months. You know, prep your gear, and then that's hopefully what we're utilizing number five for, is because we know we're not going to be able to completely just say no storage here, but we got to control it, and quite frankly, we got to get it away from the water so we can better handle it. So we'll use the areas closer to the water, you know, for staging, to where they're getting ready to go on the boat, they immediately come off the boat, then they can go away. get it paved, keep it a parking lot, and it's going to start reducing our industrial stormwater areas, the more parking lots we have.
And then it moves on to number seven. So number seven, I put in a port wastewater treatment plant. So my idea there, first off, I would try to get money from the rural USDA grant loan type of thing. They seem to have, they really want to help out the rural areas tremendously for wastewater treatment plants. At least that's the last time we had a meeting a year ago. They were really interested in trying to help the rural areas. So I don't know if they're interested in doing that now with COVID-19 all happening, but still, I would definitely try to go for the full plant at first, but if we don't get the funds, then I'll be looking at some kind of a smaller type of wastewater treatment plant to just handle like our processing plants that we have in place here now. They do have issues with their discharge permits. They're having issues going into the sewer system. But eventually, it all depends on funding. We can start off small, but we should plan for the future for expansion, for expanding to handle the port's wastewater, then potentially even all of Harbor's. Because we are at the bottom of Harbor, and it just makes sense to plan for the future for economic development.
So you're talking a full-blown sewer plant?
Eventually, yes.
Not just a treatment facility for runoff and pull it out of the plant.
Yeah, full-blown treatment plant at the end goal. That could be 10 years down the road, 15. But if you get the funding, you know, if the rural USDA comes through, gives us a huge amount of funding, and if Harbor Sanitary wants to help because they have a lot of money in their bank.
Our receiving dock, our processing plant that, you know, we got up and running, they don't have anywhere to put their water, and it's becoming much more apparent to us that we're going to run into the same thing. We can't either A, afford to go into their system and maintain, you know, whatever that bill is. And, you know, part of us have, we're going to have to make sure it's cheaper, but I just can't imagine if we have one there that it's going to be, you know, more expensive to have it here than it is to pump it over to Brookings. We have to become self-sufficient in our sewer and our wastewater and not be held hostage by Harbor Sanitary and the rates and regulations that they have that they put forth to us is making it a complete hindrance to move forward.
I got that part. I'm good with that. I'm just not sure that, this is a kind of a thought right off the top of my head, but I'm just not sure I see the port as becoming Harbor Sewer Company.
Well,
with all that goes with that.
I would like to have Harbor Sanitary run it, and we can lease it to them for a dollar or whatever, but all of our waste will go to it. And they run the plant. I mean, they are a district, but if they're not willing to help progress and move forward, then to me, we have to start off small. Or if we get them funds, you start off big. I mean, I know we have legislative backing for this plan because BC Fisheries, that was a huge political, There's a lot of political capital put that plant in, and the state funded to fix that dock. So there's a lot of backing, and to lose that plant, you're going to lose a lot of jobs. I mean, it's going to be a big thing, a big deal if they can't discharge that that material somewhere, it's going to be a black eye to the port if we can't.
As far as the port having a sewer plant, I'm good with that idea.
Yeah.
Particularly if you can also then look at other fish processors. You know, I don't know how much interest there would be, but if you have a way to contain the waste that doesn't have to be discharged and I need a permit, it would be a huge benefit,
right,
I think, for other businesses. if you want to come in and say, you know, Morenstein, for example, wants to, yeah, we'll build you a fish processing plant down there, and we'll start processing, I don't know what, I mean, it wouldn't be shrimp, but maybe ground fish, whatever it takes. You know, that would make sense to me. Being a sewer company for Harbor, you know, I won't be here when that happens anyway, but, you know, I'm just thinking all the billing and all that kind of stuff that goes into that, that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
It's all, to me, it's doable, and it'd be nice if Harbor Sanitary would come on board if, I know, one of their commissioners liked the idea, but he's not a commissioner anymore, so, anyways.
One other question, this is in the Sinai zone, could we build a sewer plant in the Sinai zone?
I'm sure you can. Yeah, you have to, I mean, sewer plants are built along the coastline, so it has to be built a certain way, I'm sure, but just another hurdle to pass, just like environmental stuff, you know, the plan is to fill in that barge area, but to fill in that barge area, you have to actually probably make that into some kind of environmental
detention pond type.
We can't just get rid of it. Or we have to create three times more fish habitat somewhere else. So there's environmental issues about filling that barge area, but we could do it in conjunction with some kind of a wastewater treatment discharge idea. So if the idea is good to have a wastewater treatment plant there, then we'll definitely go into what needs to be done engineering wise and stuff. But having a master plan to put something in there, that's the first goal. Or work out all the kinks later.
No, it's not even just the receiving docks. It's also going to help with the future of our boatyard. The boatyard's another major issue with treating water before it's good to go out. So, and I just have a feeling that the more and more we keep doing these industrial type businesses here, the steeper the regulations are going to keep getting and not be as easy to get rid of the water.
Yeah.
Well, just on the selfish point, it would help the fish cleaning station too. You're going to need to grind it and process it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. On to the boatyard. So the boatyard, our stormwater drainage sweeping plan. So you see the arrows where everything's draining in one direction, and we test our water right where the ramp's at. And we are failing our test results because of multiple reasons, mainly because of the boat yard work, and everything drains right to it. So the other idea with the dredging materials, come in here, put several feet of dredge material in here and change the contour so your water doesn't drain into here, and we actually can trap it, treat it, pump it to our wastewater treatment plant or something. But something's going to have to be done here fairly quick. We are on a time, I didn't really explain that part of the DEQ, but we are on a time crunch with DEQ. The clock is ticking. We're in the first year of testing. After the second year of testing, if we continue to fail these benchmarks, we are going to go into tier two, and tier two is
engineering the fix, and either A, apply it, or B, shut it down.
Yeah.
Talking about putting the boat shop over here too.
Yeah, Kenny's Boat Shop. Yeah, so Kenny's Boat Shop, if you go to the next page. So our idea is putting Kenny's Boat Shop in a back area, relocate him. For the grand scheme of things, just wipe out this old building. This building's been sitting there 40 years, but if it's sitting that spot there for 40 years, but it came from somewhere else, so it's probably, what, 60 or 70 years old?
I think it's part of your bill.
It came from somewhere. I know they transplanted it, but the idea is to just to wipe this thing down, put in a whole new building that houses the tenants that we have in it now, plus Kenny's Boat Shop, plus also our
travel
lift and our equipment to get it out of the weather and actually preserve that stuff forever, just about, because there's other ports that have travel lifts going in indoors, but Eureka's travel lift is 40 plus years.
81. That's 150 ton.
Yeah.
It's in great shape.
Yeah.
I think only spent the hours it's been working, outside. They don't leave it outside. And it is amazing how long it's lasted. It's amazing.
Yeah. So that's the plan for the boatyard. And then the kite field area plus the RV park. I kind of left this the same as what the original strategic business plan had for number 10 of the kite field, is teaming up with private funding, private funding plan to expand the RV park or put in a hotel or put in a convention center or do something with it. Whatever. I mean, it's kind of open to do whatever. And then the RV park, just continuing to upgrade it. And then the capital improvement plan. So this is pretty much what we had last year, or last time we updated it. The only thing I kind of did differently, I took out, kind of did the renumbering a little bit different. I had previous numbers on there, I took those off. I kind of made a new description. They used to have high, medium, and low, so I put extreme, because that, to me, we're in the extreme areas for dredging, the RV park work, the fuel dock is extreme. So those four areas are actually working. I think we're going to get those things done within the next year or so. The dredging probably won't happen until next in-water work period, just because I'm still waiting on approval. With all the engineering and environmental things that we got to do to get all those hurdles passed about putting it on the ground here, if that's what the board wants to do. I'm thinking not this in water period coming up, but the following one, which would be 2021 into 2022.
And that's for the work, though, but we should know that we have the approval earlier than that.
Yeah.
You can get all the permitting done, all the equipment staged, everything ready to go.
For when October 15th hits for in-water work period, they can hit the ground running, yeah.
Yep.
Well, I think extreme works. When I read that, I thought that works.
Yeah.
And the reason I say that is because if you look at the four things you've got listed there, that's a pretty big piece of this port. I mean, when you look at the RV park and the commercial basins and the fuel dock, that's a big piece of what this port does. So thinking of that as an extreme example, and obviously they are in extreme condition as well, so that makes sense to me.
So there's one part here that I missed some money on this. There's actually another $800,000 that needs to be plugged in here on this $775,000, that's just the repairs are repairing our 2,000 feet of slope. There's another $800,000 of dredging where the slope has failed, where you got to dig it out with the equipment because it's got all kinds of rocks and debris and stuff. So there's another $800,000 that should be plugged into that number there. So that's like $1.5 million. So you're looking at almost $3 million. Plus, I've asked for, I'm trying to get an extra $500,000 for hazard mitigation grant program. And they would put in the paving, the asphalt, and whatnot after FEMA puts everything down on the ground. So I'm hoping all those pieces come together and Business Oregon comes in and helps with our disaster relief funding, Stephanie.
Yes, I was just, I'm still listening. I wanted to just say three quick things, and then I need to jump off and prepare for my 3 o'clock. But the first is, again, I appreciate the exercise and the conversation. This is the strategic part of strategic planning right now. When the commission approves this plan, I would love to share it with our RDO, Sean Stevens. We can pull together a one-stop with other grant entities to talk about, like, your sewer treatment facility, for example, and kind of survey all the funding possibilities for you so you don't have to do that work alone. The other thing I was going to say is that we can talk with the governor's regional solutions team about the new priorities, and they may be able to, between myself and the regional solutions team member, we may be able to help with the coordinating of other state agency work to help cut down on any legwork that happens with that, because you mentioned DEQ. And then the final thing I wanted to say is that if you are applying for grants, especially at the federal level, Business Oregon is happy to work with you on a letter of support so that it's a sign of support and strength for your grant applications as well. So those were just some thoughts I had as listening to the conversation and understanding what the priorities are. We definitely want to be able to engage with you and pull these projects off.
Cool. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm going to hop off, but again, I appreciate the opportunity to listen in. And thank you again, Gary, for everything you do.
Yep. Thank you, Stephanie. Likewise.
Okay. Have a good night. Bye-bye.
Right. Bye. All right. Table 14, continuing. This is just the other projects that we have going on. Kind of just list them out. The idea of this table 14 is just trying to, like, look in 5-year increments and trying to get as much as you can done in a 5-year plan. I know looking at 10 years is a little harder to plan 10 years out, but within 5 years is the goal that we should be striving for.
I think it keeps everybody's attention a little better.
Yeah.
You start talking 10 years out, people are like, ugh.
Yeah.
Well, the problem with having too long of a time span is you can't anticipate well enough to stay ahead of what might change.
Right.
And that could be in a new administration. You could see an entire change in environmental regulation, for example, and those kind of things. The ocean doing what it's doing right now, you may be looking at one sort of fish processing now that a lot later. So
scroll. Yeah. Move a little.
You're clicking on something down there on it.
Yeah, I thought it was on there.
Daniel broke it.
Hey. Daniel fixed it. And then table 15 is project opportunities. This kind of becomes kind of a little redundant from the other table, but this just kind of talks about the potential conflicts with the land use and or development regulations. And a lot of it is I kind of updated the project descriptions and kind of listed. Well, I used the same numbers from the previous table, and a lot of these potential conflicts are just the same as the original conflicts we had in the original strategic business plan. And then action plan kind of speaks for itself. I know that I got the dredging and stope repair done within 1 year, but probably like 2 years based on permitting, and the COVID thing didn't help us out. If we didn't have the COVID thing happening, probably would have approval by now, but they've changed program managers on us 3 times now, so they had 3 sets of eyes looking at it. They've had all kinds of people looking at this project. They I don't know if I talked to you guys about it, but what they plan on doing is giving us approval for the permitting and engineering first as like a lump sum amount for both projects, because we can do
both of them at the same time. So they're going to just give us like a version one approval just for that. And then once that's been approved, because they know there's a lot of environmental things that we have got to go hurdle over, that could change our plan too. So depending on what all comes out of the permitting and engineering, then we'll move into construction. They'll give us another lump of funds for the dredging and repair work.
It actually makes a lot of sense. When they started that, I'm like, yeah, sounds like you guys are actually thinking this one through a little bit instead of throwing all your money at it before you actually figure out what it is that's actually happening.
Yes.
What's the availability of dredging?
What do you mean, the contractor? Or?
Yeah. Where would you find the dredge?
Well, you put it out to this. There's actually starting to be quite a few different dredging companies out there with multiple different types of.
Yeah, so the political side of things, we have to be careful with how we proceed with that, because if we use the state dredge, it's managed through Business Oregon. Business Oregon is also the same entity that would help us pay the 25%. If we don't get help on the 25% on all this work, a 25% of about $3.5 million is quite a bit we have to come up with. Yeah, so we have to be careful of how we proceed on the dredging.
What it all comes down to also is that we have procurements that, you know, you have to follow procurement rules.
Right.
I mean, it's a big job. You got, I mean, it's worth your time to do your engineering and put it out to bid, but some of the things that you're going to have to weigh, you know, the state dredge is going to be able to come in with probably other helpers along with it, like you say, with the 25%. So it's all going to depend on how it shakes out with it, but I think it'll be, we'll get good numbers for the dredging.
We'll be careful. We'll be very careful how we do the dredging procurement side of things. That's all I want to say. And then that
Well, I was just mainly curious about how many dredges there were. I don't know how many dredges are around that would be suitable to do this kind of work.
Two or three?
Yeah.
Two or three companies?
Yeah, it is.
I'm counting the state as one.
State's one. You know, the Columbia has, up on the Columbia, there's a couple different outfits up there. Ferguson, the ones that drove our pilings, I think they recently bought an excavator one. It's a suction dredge on the end of an excavator because they own the barges they put the cranes on. So they bought an excavator that they can put on those, and the excavator does the pumping. So, and there's a lot of different people are coming up with different ways to get the dredging done. So it's kind of like driving pilings. I mean, there's a handful, you know, maybe two handfuls of possible candidates out there that we'd be able to get bids from.
You would have the suction dredge.
Well, most of it's suction dredging. Along the edges will be, I think it's going to be excavated because you can't suction dredge those big rocks and debris.
You'd probably put a drag line or something.
Yeah, I think everything from the dock line to the bank would be a long arm excavator
or
a clamshell,
right.
Pull all that out. Everything else in between would be a suction dredge. Definitely a suction dredge. You know, the state one, it was hand-picked to be able to work in marinas.
Right.
I mean, that's what that thing was meant to do.
Yeah, it made
to
go between
the
fingers.
Yeah, and you can get it in there into your fingers. That thing can sit there, and that head sweeps back. Most all of them are fixed. And they have cables, and they pull themselves all the way across. This one just walks, and then the ladder swings, so it can actually go into a slip, do a slip, back it out, go down to the next one. And it's a very efficient dredge. So, but that's what the excavator does, too. The excavator can go down the aisles, reach over, dredge. So there's different ways of doing it, but suction dredge for sure in the channel. And during the tsunami, I'm not sure when the dredging before the tsunami happened, but after, it should be a lot easier dredging for these guys. When we did it before, I think that dredge found absolutely everything, the shopping carts, bicycles. I mean, you name it, we've spent picking off the end of that head. So hopefully the water's a lot cleaner, the drug use should be faster and easier also.
All right, well, that's the 5-year update in a nutshell, I guess. Any other comments?
What kind of agreement do you have with Coast Guard? Is it a long-term lease?
I think the lease is good for every 4 years. They got to renew it every 4 years, I believe. Right? Every 4 years.
Okay.
So it's not a long-term lease.
I don't imagine they have any plans of leaving.
No, I don't think they have any intentions of leaving here.
No. No.
They got themselves a pretty good spot there. They've done a lot to that project.
Right, so this basically after today now, so the kickoff of public comment.
Yep.
We don't take any action on that until July 21st.
Yep. Regular meeting. Regardless of public comments, I'll probably have, a second workshop just so we can plan on having all five commissioners here and just we can review it. Probably, it'd be a quick review. We don't have to go into great detail because the plan's been out there for a while. But like I said, I'm going to be talking to Ken separately. I'll talk to Sharon and Roy privately too.
You might, the next workshop, you might consider asking one of the county commissioners.
I sent this to the boys. It was,
well, really out of courage, one of them to be here so they can hear things like certain maps and stuff like that.
Yeah. Voice knows all about the server plan idea. I did send him the notice of this meeting. He did attend the last regular meeting. I'm surprised he didn't pipe in and ask anything, but you can kill the meeting.
All right. We'll adjourn the workshop at 2:57.